Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, Friday was Yom HaShoah, or Holocaust Remembrance Day. A new documentary featuring Boston Globe columnist James Carroll remembers the Catholic Church's role in the Holocaust and focuses on Christian anti-Semitism that lingers today. The film is called Constantine's Sword. We'll meet the director and producers in a minute. Here is a Holocaust survivor who appears in the film.
Sì. Quando il 16 ottobre gli ebrei sono stati deportati.
If on October 16th, when the Jews were awaiting deportation, not 300 yards from the Vatican, if the Pope had only taken the trouble to step out through those Vatican gates, even without saying anything, there was that great gesture of his on July 19, 1943, when Rome was bombed. And he went to the ruins and didn't say a word. He just opened his arms in the sign of the cross. If he had done something similar when the Jews were arrested on October 16th, I think there would never have been a deportation.
We'll talk to the filmmakers in a minute, Betsy West and Oren Jacoby. First, another clip from the film. The columnist and former priest James Carroll on his relationship with the sign of the cross as he was growing up.
The cross located me. It told me who I was, my connection to Jesus, the cross a sign of mercy. I saw crosses everywhere when I was a kid. I saw telephone poles as crosses. I looked up in the sky and I saw airplanes as crosses. The cross was central to the way I saw the world. It was like a sighting device, even, through which I looked. And then it changed. I began to see that this cross throws a shadow.
James Carroll, maybe some of you know him from his Boston Globe column. It's really his story, this film, Constantine's Sword, now playing at the Quad Cinema on 13th Street in Manhattan. The husband-wife team of producer Betsy West and producer-director Oren Jacoby join me now. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Brian.
Why'd you make this film?
Well, as a filmmaker, you're always looking for great stories and great characters. And in this case, it was Jim Carroll is such a compelling character to begin with, and the fact that he had this detective story that he was undertaking to really get to the bottom of where religious violence comes from and why it keeps bubbling up again and why it's now becoming an issue that we have to deal with in America that was irresistible to me as a filmmaker.
More on that, Betsy. Why'd you tell this story through James Carroll's eyes? Or was it that you wanted to tell James Carroll's story because it's so compelling?
Yes, I think that we heard about Jim from a friend, and as soon as Oren met him, actually, and then read the book, Constantine's Sword, that he had written. And I remember Oren saying to me, you know, I studied European history, but I didn't have a clue about any of this. And it just seemed that the story was so revealing and unusual, and he is a wonderful character.
Now, I'm going to play a clip of the columnist Michael Kinsley on this show recently, because, Betsy, I think you said
yes.
to our producer that when you heard Michael Kinsley say this, you said, that's why we made this move. The whole movie is a response to this one line by Michael Kinsley.
Well, sort of. I said, wow, they should see Constantine's Sword. But anyway, you'll...
Here's what he said.
I don't understand. I'm not religious myself, and I find it very hard to understand what are the rules of religion. Why isn't it If you believe in one religion, and if you believe it's right, why don't you believe that other people with different religions are wrong? You know, I just don't get it.
It's the nature of religion. It's to say,
yeah.
I believe this, and this is right, and what you believe isn't right.
Yeah.
It is a fundamental question. We get other calls on this. You know, it's like, why be so ecumenical, right? What's the point of saying there are many paths to God if religion is about extolling the virtues of your path to God?
If you think you've got the answer, right, why not let other people know? Oren? Yeah.
Well, you know, I think there are two answers. First of all, you know, we all believe in freedom of speech, and you ought to be able to tell people. And if you think you've got the good news, you want to share it. But there are different circumstances of doing that. And, you know, clearly, when it's being done, as we show in this film, in the United States Air Force Academy and throughout the armed forces in the United States, where you have people in a hierarchy of rank, and superior officers or administrators or teachers at the Air Force Academy are being sort of pressuring kids to go in a certain way and saying, if you don't go this way, you're going to burn the fires of hell. It's more than sharing good news. It becomes coercive and it becomes threatening.
So we have a clip from the film about that. This is a montage of people speaking all in a row about the proselytizing and anti-Jewish speech that was taking place at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. The first voice we'll hear is a chaplain on that campus.
I had eventually more and more cadets coming to me and telling me these stories about how the academy was now full-fledged putting their stamp on conservative Christian ideology. If you're a cadet and you walk in to Mitchell Hall and on every table are flyers for a movie, then as a cadet, you are going to assume that your academy is encouraging you to go see it.
So I was like, well, if you want to see whether or not it is anti-Semitic, you need to see it yourself, for yourself.
Right.
And so we both went to go see it.
We did. And I felt terrible watching that movie, just absolutely terrible. I look at how they portray Jews. These are my people. We're being portrayed as the people who killed Christ. How can believers look at that and not get pissed and angry at the Jews?
So, Betsy, you, I don't know if you covered this when you were at CBS, but that story is a few years old, and it kind of came to public light that there was this proselytizing going on at the Air Force Academy, and the government said they were going to do something about it. Did they do something about it?
Well, they people were, I think I should let Oren answer that. I mean, I think in terms of the story being out there, I have covered a number of stories over the years involving separation of church and state, you know, and I think that what I finally understood after working on this film was the context of all of that, you know, why people get so exercised over it. But Oren, you could perhaps talk about what happened.
Well, it's been an ongoing process where complaints have been made. The Air Force Academy says we're doing something about it. And I'd say the person who's the biggest authority on this is Mikey Weinstein, who appears in our film, who is he's an alumnus of the academy. He's devoted to the Air Force, whereas two of his sons are, and his daughter-in-law, his son's wife went there.
And he was a Reagan administration official or
he
something?
He was a Reagan White House counsel. And, you know, he has found himself so upset about what's going on there. And continues to go on there, that he started a foundation to collect all of the stories of people, not just at the Air Force Academy, but throughout the armed forces and people in Iraq, mm-hmm. who, because of their religious beliefs, have been harassed and he's found put in dangerous situations because of it.
So this is obviously a bad thing, and the Catholic Church's silence at the time of the Holocaust, obviously a bad thing, and beyond silence, as James Carroll talks about, treaty with Hitler on certain respects when Hitler came to power. But to most Jews, it seems like the more active and relevant anti-Semitism today in the world is Muslim anti-Semitism. That's not to say Muslims are anti-Semites. That's to say some Muslims are anti-Semites, like some anybody are anti-anything, but that's the most actionable, the most threatening to be physically violent at this particular moment in history. So why did you make a film about Christian anti-Semitism and not Muslim anti-Semitism?
Well, first of all, you know, it's not a film about an issue. It's a story. And it's Jim Carroll's story. And he believes that first of all, that Islamic anti-Semitism very much follows the basis of Christian anti-Semitism, that it's the original one. And it has put out there all of the terms, the insulting, insinuating ideas about Jews, the phony, the Elders of Zion myth that is perpetrated now on television in the Middle East by certain Arab countries. But he also says we shouldn't be pointing fingers at other people. We shouldn't say, you're anti-Semitic, you're anti-Islamic. We should look at ourselves, and we should say any religious believer should look in their own soul and say, how is my tradition responsible for putting more hatred in the world? And he felt as a Catholic, this wasn't an easy journey for him, but he felt he had to go on it.
We're talking to Oren Jacoby and Betsy West on WNYC, the producers of the movie Constantine Sword, playing at the Quad Cinema in Manhattan. This movie was, of course, made before Pope Benedict came to New York just recently and had that historic visit to a synagogue here. But here is a clip from the film that is James Carroll remarking on Pope Benedict's visit recently to a synagogue in Cologne in Germany.
Quite properly, in speaking to a Jewish group, he begins by acknowledging the tragedy of the Shoah, the Holocaust.
In the darkest time of German and European history,
there's a way in which his acknowledgement of the Shoah was incomplete. He said Nazi hatred of Jews was, quote, born of neo-paganism, unquote, as if that's the only source of it. Well, it was born of Nazi neo-paganism, but that hatred had two parents, and the other one, the long tradition of Christian anti-Judaism, he didn't mention.
That's such an interesting clip.
Yeah, it is. I think that, Jim sees this backtracking, that the Catholic Church has made some progress in acknowledging problems, especially with Vatican II, and then there are steps that go backward in not continuing this acknowledgement. It's a push and pull.
Carol, the subject of your film is a former priest.
Yes.
Did were you watching then Pope Benedict in New York through the eyes of that clip when he was here?
Absolutely. And
did he go further?
Well, he has, in that he has supported, people knew that he was meeting with Jewish leaders in America, and there was hope that he would reverse a recent decision he made to return to the Catholic liturgy on Good Friday, which is traditionally the day when many pogroms were begun, because it's the day that in the Christian liturgy Jews were blamed for killing Jesus, and people would flock out of the cathedrals and start attacking Jews. And the Second Vatican Council removed from the liturgy the part of it that said the perfidious Jews, we pray for the conversion of the perfidious Jews, by implication saying that Jews today are responsible in some way. And he has returned, without the word perfidious, he's returned the prayer that says we pray for the Jews on Good Friday, acknowledging in a way that this tradition continues.
We've only got a minute left. I want to acknowledge that Betsy West, you were one of the casualties, you might say, of the Dan Rather Air National Guard George W. Bush AWOL story at CBS. You were let go as part of that. He is still suing CBS. Looking back, how right and how wrong do you think your team was in the way you handled that story and its aftermath?
Well, I think that we made a mistake and we acknowledged the mistake, but I would say that I don't really consider myself a casualty. I think that in a way it was a great opportunity. I've had a chance to work on this documentary. And, it's challenging times in the media, but I think they're challenging, especially for big media with lots of assets to protect. And there are many, many opportunities out there to work on documentaries like this. I'm also teaching at the Columbia Journalism School, and I can tell you my students aren't depressed. They're excited about the opportunities that the technology
affords.
We just
have like 20 seconds, but CBS is also in the news for the failure to thrive of the evening news with Katie Couric and the idea of outsourcing the news division to CNN entirely. Does the world need the old network's evening newscast anymore anyway?
I think it's a very challenging time slot, to put it mildly. They made a very expensive gamble, and it hasn't quite worked out. But I have a lot of great friends and colleagues at CBS who continue to do good work, and I'm sure they will do that.
Betsy West and Oren Jacoby, producers, and he's the director of the film Constantine Sword. showing now at the Quad Cinema on 13th Street in Manhattan. Thank you both very much.
Thank you. And it's coming out on DVD in September.